House Bill 1067.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Ray Christensen, Department of Education, Cultural Affairs, and I need to answer your question. There is nothing coming from our department that would eliminate the small schools factor, I assure you. 1067 is a bill that I guess I didn't think would ever be necessary. I was pretty surprised by the need for this. What it says in very short words is that no school board may employ a person whose certificate is revoked or suspended. In other words, if I revoke a certificate, the secretary revokes a certificate which is permanent, they can't be employed by another district. Or if it's suspended during the period of the suspension, they can't be employed. And I'm going to give you a composite example because I don't want to use anything that's real, but it is similar enough that it's realistic. Let's suppose that in a school, a teacher, or for that matter, another certified employee of some sort, were to do something, expose him or herself, let's say, in front of a group of students. And through a process of due hearing and so on, that person's certificate was removed for either a period of a year or longer. What this says is that during that period of time, no other district could employ him. And it doesn't say just as a teacher or an administrator, it says they can't employ him. And my argument would be we don't want them as a custodian or a secretary or a bus driver or anybody else if that's the case. If it's permanent or if it's temporary until the time that is over has expired. The reason for this is that we had a situation where we took some action against someone, and I was getting phone calls from districts about employing this person. I strongly urged against it, and I don't think they were employed, but I want to make it real clear that if someone is suspended or revoked, there's a good reason for that, and it's not that we just don't want them in the district that used to employ them. We don't want them in a school during that period of time, and that's what this bill does.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Further proponents on 1067.
Good morning, Elaine Roberts with the South Dakota Education Association. We are in support of this bill. One of the things that as an association that we have been concerned about is the qualifications and the quality of our professional staff in our school districts. This certainly does set in place a way for there to maintain that quality, particularly when a certificate has been revoked or suspended. So we would be in support of the secretary's position and the importance of having some way to maintain quality in the teaching profession. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Christy Johnson with school administrators. We too, of course, want to maintain the quality of our teaching staff. I guess I have a couple of questions. It's unclear to me how would I, as a school superintendent or principal hiring staff, know if somebody's license has been revoked or suspended if the person applying chose not to tell me. I don't know what the process is, if there's some communication that comes from DECA to all of the school districts. I would also, I assume there would be people coming from out of state that may not have those same lines of communication, so I'm wondering what the responsibility is there. And secondly, is there a penalty if you do mistakenly hire someone that their certificate has been revoked or suspended? So I give my support, but I would like to have those questions answered if possible. Thank you.
We will answer those during the question and answer, unless you want to take that. Okay. Further proponents on 1067.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Gene Ank, representing the Associated School Boards. We too support this. We think it's right, but we do have some of those same questions that Christy raised, and hopefully we can get answers to them.
Further proponents? Seeing none, opponents on House Bill 1067? Seeing none. Questions for the proponents, basically the tracking question.
Mr. Chairman, members, good questions. There probably isn't as complete a process as we'd like to have in place, but there's several things that I would recommend. I think all applications that are where people are hired should ask the question, have you ever had a certificate suspended or revoked? If they answer truthfully, no. If they don't, when you find out, that gives you another tool. Secondly, we certainly, if we're called and asked, has John Doe ever had their certificate suspended or revoked? We will certainly, if it's appropriate, tell them. And when you're hiring, I would think it's appropriate. From out of state, that was another question. We belong to a group that kind of is a clearinghouse for people who have had certificates suspended or revoked. Routinely, we track that for anybody that is certified in the state. And so that helps. We're also forming with our neighboring states a smaller subgroup of that so we can more quickly communicate with each other to try to keep track of that. So there are several pieces that are going on. The last piece I would say also is with what was passed last year on background checks, I think that that also requires additional checking on employees that are hired and for certain positions, and I think in some cases that will happen. Most generally, if an employer will simply call the previous employer, you will find that out. Because if they lost their job because of a suspension or revocation, that would come through. If it was a suspension for a year or two and that has passed, then this does not prohibit them from being employed. It might make a difference to that district, and I would think they would want to know that, but it would not prohibit them from employing a person because after the suspension, their certificate does come in back into play. So there is no absolute guarantee, but surely we're very interested in sharing information, and I think some prudent checks of potential employees will bring, in almost all cases, would just about guarantee this stuff would come to light.
Further questions? Representative McCall.
Well, a question for Mr. Christensen, please. I was approached by a school administrator, and I just want to clarify this. I'm not that familiar with Section 1342.9 or 1342.10. I would like to know, for what reasons would people be suspended or revoked? And this administrator was concerned that a teacher who fell behind on their college credits, or somehow the college goofed up and didn't get their credits applied, and would you take away, he wanted assurance that somebody wouldn't have their license suspended or revoked for reasons such as this, is not enough credits?
No, good question. There is a fairly complete hearing process that goes through. The secretary has the power and authority to suspend or revoke, and they typically come from one of two avenues. There is a code of ethics for teachers, and there is a code of ethics for administrators, and both of those codes of ethics are put together by a commission of their peers and the public. So the teacher group has mostly teachers and some lay people. The administrator group has mostly administrators and some lay persons. If any person believes there has been a violation of the code of ethics, they can file charges. And that is done more frequently than most of you would probably realize. They are busy commissions. The commission will then decide whether or not they have sufficient grounds to have a hearing. If they have a hearing, which is a fairly formal process, including swearing in, perjury kinds of issues come into play and so on, oftentimes lawyers involved, the commission will make a decision, has this person violated the ethics? And if they have, to what degree? Should we reprimand them? Should we say you need to take some additional classes? Should we say there's nothing here? Or should we say we recommend that the secretary remove this person's certificate? Then it would come to me. I would then review the transcript or may hold a hearing on my own to make that determination. At that point, I'll make a judgment about what should happen. And the secretary has the power to either revoke or suspend a certificate. The other way that this happens is it can come directly to the secretary. Let me give you a common example. A teacher is under contract, doesn't show up for the first day of classes. Very frequently, I will get a request from the local school board that this teacher's certificate be suspended for 1 year, and I will routinely do that for jumping, for breaking contract. So that would be another example. Or it could be something directly criminal or some other thing that we find out about. We have to be very careful because we want to make sure due process is followed and people's rights are not stepped upon. In fact, some cases I can even be the one that brings the charges. If that's the case, then I will designate my authority to a third-party hearing officer. That hearing officer will make an independent judgment about whether that person's certificate should be suspended or revoked. So there are a number of ways, but I can't imagine, I have no personal knowledge, and I served on the teacher commission for 8 years, many years ago, but I have no personal knowledge of any person ever losing a certificate for want of grades. Now, maybe if there were something really fraudulent or we've had situations, for instance, where people have lied about having a degree and they didn't have one, those kinds of issues. But it, just in terms of grades, I can't imagine. It has to be pretty serious. I mean, you're taking away a person's livelihood and you're really affecting their reputation. So certainly this secretary does not take that lightly.
Representative Davis.
Secretary Christensen. I hear you saying that if a person doesn't show up for the first day of work, you suspend their contract for a year, and they would not be qualified to work in any position in any school in the state of South Dakota?
If let me give you an example, which has happened several times. We have had situations where a teacher has been contracted to teach, and they just flat don't show up the first day of school. The first time the school knows they're not going to be there is they don't come. Now, this is rare, fortunately, but it has happened too often. Then typically the school board, and I don't do it unless the school board requests it, okay? It's school board that had the contract will say, this person, here's the signed contract, they didn't show up for work or they jumped contract for whatever reason, and fairly routinely I will suspend that certificate for 1 year. So for that year they can't teach elsewhere. That's the whole idea. They broke a contract. They breached an agreement to provide services, and that's the penalty.
Follow up, please.
Representative Davis.
But they could not go in the school and work as an EA, as a secretary, as a custodian?
Not while they were suspended, which typically would be 1 year. Where we see that more often is where they go out of state and they leave the state and then get a job in our state.
Further questions? Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Christensen, the situation that you describe is going to become very, 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 very common. I was contacted in August by a school district in Tucson and offered a job over the telephone. And I said, I'm under contract. And they said, well, we don't have reciprocity with South Dakota anyway. That didn't seem to bother them at all, Mr. Chairman. I support your position.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll close the committee to committee action on House Bill 1067. We're open for committee action. Representative Smith. Representative Smith recommends do pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Wick. Discussion on that motion, Representative Davis.
Yeah, I mean, I was all for this when he gave the first example, but in this day and age of school districts vying for help, in the first place, I could see someone getting offered a better job the day before school started and taking it. You do it in any other profession. But to say they can't work as an EA or as a custodian or nowhere in the school, I'm having some problems with that. If it was a moral issue or a criminal issue, yeah, I could see it, but I'm having more problems with it than I had before, and I wish someone could change my mind.
Further discussion in effort to change Representative Davis' mind. Representative Koistra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't change Representative Davis's mind, but she does bring up a good point. In fact, there may be some legislation floating around now for teachers that are holding two contracts. And I guess my I cannot ask a question at this time, but would one be suspended for holding two contracts? And just for the reasons that was brought up, there are a number of reasons when we're talking about a livelihood, et cetera, why one would hold two contracts. And if they were suspended that just because the board, for various reasons, would go to the state and ask that, that could hurt his livelihood. And that has to be addressed in a different issue, but be suspended for holding two contracts, to me, is not a serious crime, and it's, I wouldn't think it would be serious to prohibit it from that. So therefore, this bill itself is rather vague. I will probably will support it, but then again, I would think that we have good judgment from the Secretary and the Department of Education before they suspend that. Not take that lightly, because it is a problem. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With all due respect, I got a whole different problem. If this law was in place and I was hiring somebody, and I hired somebody that had broken a contract, they'd come to the union and they say, no, you can't employ a person whose certificate is revoked. I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Then what? I mean, there's nothing here to prevent them from doing it. Or, and I guess I don't understand that. It's a good idea, but maybe this should be looked at a little longer.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question for the committee is a do-pass motion on House Bill 1067. Those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The clerk will call the roll. Aye. Representative Davis. 1067 passes 15-0.